middle of the Tosfos Ayin Zayin Omer Aleph, Dibra Maskol Soif Chama Lavoy. The Gemara said a chiddush that not only if we're learning the sugya of Retzeach, that a Retzeach is Chayiv Misa, not only if he does the Retzich of the Yadayim Mamish, he throttles someone to death or he stabs him in the heart with a knife, even if he throws an arrow or even if he shoots him from a distance. So it's not the Retzeach Begufa directly, it's Retzeach Bekocho is also Chayiv. But the Gemara gave a limitation, it's only if it's Koyach Rishon, not if it's Koyach Sheni. That was the Gemara said a Chiddush that not only if we're learning the Sugya of Retzeach, that a Retzeach is Chayiv Misa, not only if he does the Retzeach of the Yadayim Mamish, he throttles someone to death or he stabs him in the heart with a knife, even if he throws an arrow, or even if he shoots him from a distance, so it's not the Retzeach Begufa directly, it's Retzeach Bekocho, is also Chayiv. But the Gemara gave a limitation, it's only if it's Koyach Rishon, not if it's Koyach Sheni. That was the Gemara on the bottom of Ayin Zayin on the base. It's a very difficult Gemara. We're not sure exactly what's the difference between Koyach Rishon and Koyach Sheni. The example that the Gemara gave was, I tie somebody up, and there's a dam that's holding back all the water, and then I pick up the dam and the water starts to flow. So if I tied the person up close to the dam, and then when I pull up the wall, I pull up so the water drowns him. If it's close to the water drowns him, that's Koyach Rishon. But if it's very far away, that's Koyach Sheni. So what is close by and what's far away? And what does it mean? Koyach Rishon, Koyach Sheni is very unclear. Rashi says close, so he Koray Varochek. We don't understand what Rashi means. What's the difference? Koray Varochek. And then the Yad Ramah picks on Rashi, disagrees with Rashi. He gives two other interpretations. We're not sure exactly what the Yad Ramah said either. The easiest way to understand would be the way we said over from the Dvar Avram, from the Kovner Rav. In his Sefer, he happened to be speaking about a case which we said last week, one Kedingzach, that is the context of what he's talking about. He's talking about making a mikveh. The Halacha says that a mikveh has to be Havayosa Bidei Shamayim. If it's Havayosa, they go Havakabal Tumah, so it's no good. So let's say there's a bore over here, and you have to fill up the bore with water. So if I carry the water in buckets and I pour the water in, not only is that a din, thank you very much, that's maim shuvim, so that's no good. But many Rishonim hold that the whole din of maim shuvim is only midirabbanon legamri midirabbanon. We mentioned last week that there's a machlokes of Rishonim. What exactly is midirabbanon? The Mishnai say that maim shuvim is a din derabbanon. Therefore, if there's any slight sofek, you make it's a din derabbanon that's more kal than other dinim derabbanon. Even in the case where in another case the Rabbanon, you wouldn't say Safik the Rabbanon Lukula, let's say Keneged HaChazoke. You don't say Safik the Rabbanon, the Shach and Yeridei Paskins. You don't say Safik the Rabbanon Lukula. The Shach and the Taz both say Safik the Rabbanon Lukula doesn't apply Keneged HaChazoke. The Pre-Chodesh Dintzach with the Shach and the Taz, but that's what we follow, that you don't allow Safik the Rabbanon Lukula Keneged HaChazoke. Nonetheless, the Mishnah says in Mikvoyos that Safik Maim Shuvim is good lekula even keneged hachazok. The person is becheskes tameh, and when mesupik if you have gimel luge maim shuvim that passel the mikvah not, so you go lehokel even a svek sveke where a svek sveke sometimes you have a svek sveke lahachmir. Usually you have a svek sveke to deraisa lehokel, and once in all you have the other way svek sveke to derabana lahachmir if everything is leaning in the wrong direction. If the Svek Svek is leaning l'chumah, so the Mishnah Melech developed such an idea, there's such a concept as Svek Svek l'chumah. So the Mishnah said b'feirish, the Mishnah Melech pointed out, Mishnah said b'feirish that by Sofik Maim Shuvim, you don't go l'chumah. Even when you have a Svek Svek l'chumah, you don't go l'chumah. Because Sofik Maim Shuvim, you always go l'kula, it's a din derabbanan kal, and it's even more kal than other dinam derabbanan. So that's a big machlekes and rishainim. This din that we say is a din de rabbanon kal, this is only the din of gimel ugi maim shuvim. If you have a mikvah chasera that doesn't yet have 40 saw, and you filled it up you put in gimel ugi maim shuvim, so that din is only with the rabbanon. What if you have a mikvah, the whole thing is maim shuvim? That's also with the rabbanon. So that's a big machlekes and rishonim in Shulchan Aruch. So Tosfos and Bava Kama has the machlekes and Bava Basra. And different mesichtes, the Tosfos appears. And it's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Mechaber is Mekel, that all Maim Shuvim is only the Rabbana. And the Ramah is Machmed, that if Kulo Shov, if Rubo Shov, if most of the Mikveh, if 21 saw the Mikveh is Maim Shuvim and only 19 saw is Maim Sherim, so it's possible in Atar. If you have 21 saw of the Mikveh is Maim Sherim and 19 saw is Maim Shuvim, so then the Ramah says that it's like Gimel Uge Maim Shuvim, that's only the Rabbana. So then you would have all of these Kulos would be Noi. So that's a machlokes Rishonim regarding a mikveh that's in Gamsin Shu'uvim. Is it possible in Atar, is it possible in the Rabban? But let's say not a case like that. Let's say I take buckets of water and I pour the water directly into the bore. Not that I pour the water on the ground and it rolls into the bore. I pour the water directly into the bore. So the Gemara says that for sure is a psul deraisa. That's learned up in the Pasuk, Ach mayin a bore mikveh mayin yihi yet tohar. And the Gemara darshan says, Zvachim dav chafei. It never, the din, the drosha never appears in the Mishnayos. Haba yosem aydei tahara. If the hisabu samikveh is aydei dova hamakabel tumah, that's no good. So even, so a bucket is makabel tumah. And even if it wouldn't be, let's say it would be in a bucket that's not makabel tumah, klei glolem, klei avonim, klei adomim, that's not makabel tumah. And it wouldn't even be, let's say we're not worried about the maim shuvim. Let's say the maim shuvim is a gans midirabon. We're just worrying about trying to figure out what was the din in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu before they made the din derabon. Still, if a person pours the water into the mikveh, the person is a dova hamakabel tumah. So the fact that he pours the water in the mikveh, that's called habayasai de dova hamakabel tumah. Even if he kicks it with his foot, and there's no maim shuvim, it wasn't contained in a bucket at all. He kicks it in his foot and it goes directly into the mikveh, so that's called habayasai de tumah. So the Dvar Avram had a shaila. What if you have the way to have the water go from the reservoir, whatever, wherever the water comes from, let's say from the reservoir, into the mikveh is by pushing a button. So by pushing a button, then this causes there's a whole electronic setup, and this is causing the water to flow from the reservoir into the mikveh. So is it considered that the person did this or not? So he suggests that it should make, we said last week, he suggests it should make a difference whether it's Bekerach Rishon or Bekerach Sheni. What says Bekerach Rishon? So he's trying to figure out, what does it mean, Bekerach Rishon? What does it mean? If the person, I tied up the person near the dam and I picked up the water and he drowns right away, then it's Ritzeach, then it's Bekerach Rishon. If I tied him up a mile away and it takes a while till the water rolls all the way down the river and then he drowns, then it's only Bekerach Sheni in his pot. What's the difference, whether he's nearby or he's far away? That's what the Yad Ramah asks on Rashi. It doesn't understand what Rashi means. So Yad Ramah gave complicated suggestions. So the Dvar Avraham suggested the following. If you have the water is there's a lot of water pressure, and you pick up the dam, if you would put the dam down right away after picking it up, you would just pick it up for a moment and put it down. For 2-3 seconds, and then you would put it down. How much water would come out? Not so much water. Depends on how big the dam is. Okay? So let's say it's not such a wide opening. So if you would put it down after three seconds of waiting, and that water would not be sufficient to drown the person, the only reason why he drowns is because you picked it up and you left it up. So the water pressure causes that the water keeps on rolling on and on and on and on. So that's called Kerach Sheni. This is what he suggests as a definition to distinguish between Kerach Rishon and Kerach Sheni. So mainly he says, if you push the button where you have an electronic system, and this causes the water to flow from the reservoir into the bore of the mikveh, not talking about Ritzicha, he thought to equate all cases. He thought that this distinction that the Gemara made between Kerach Rishon and Kerach Sheni is not only in the three cases where the Gemara says explicitly that you need Kerach Gavre, the Hainu Shchita, in the Tilus Yadayim and Ritzicha. The Gemara says the Halacha requires Kerach Gavre, and the Gemara makes this distinction between Kerach Rishon and Kerach Sheni in these three cases. So the Dvar Avraham assumed that it's a universal din. That's what the Chazon Ish and Rav Chaim brings up, based on the Rambam, Taras Habayis, we spoke last week. You can say not. So you can say that this distinction between Kerach Rishon and Kerach Sheni only applies to these three cases. It doesn't apply in Kol HaTorah Kulo. When you need Kerach Gavre. So the Dvar Avraham assumes Kerach Gavre is just the Aramaic equivalent of Maisa Hod. Anodam is a Gavre, the same thing. So whenever the Halacha speaks about Maisa Hodam, we spoke about when you bake matzahs and when you do, the matzahs have to be made with shmot. Obviously you need Maisa Hodam, Asiyas Hodam. If the Afiyas HaMatzah doesn't relate back to me, how can you say that I did it with shmot? So obviously the Afiyah has to be done by a Ben Hodam, or the Tzitzis has to the tvias achutim, to take the wool and to make thread out of it, has to be made l'shma. So if it has to be made l'shma, obviously you need a maisa ha'adam, it has to be made l'shma, so it has to be my maisa. So the Dvar Avram assumed, al pi pashtus, that this distinction between kerach rishon and kerach sheni applies in kol ha'torah kula. Whenever the halacha requires a maisa ha'adam, so then we distinguish between kerach rishon and kerach sheni. So he says, if you push the button on, that the water should go from the reservoir into the mikveh, and then you would wait 3 seconds and then push it off, so how much water would already go in? 1 saw, 2 saw, that's not enough. So that's considered habiyasa yidei ha'adam, that's considered the flow of that water. If he would have turned on the button, pushed the button just for 3 seconds and then turned it off, so how much water would fill in? Not the whole 40 saw. So only that amount is considered kerach rishon, that's considered habiyasa yidei ha'adam, Maisa ha'adam, and habiyasa yidei dov ha'makabal tumah. Adam is a dov ha'makabal tumah with pasal mikveh, but the rest of it, but he doesn't push it off, he doesn't push the button off, he doesn't keep on pushing off, he doesn't do that. He pushes the one in charge in the mikveh, pushes the button, he leaves it on. So the hemshech of the flow of the water, the whole flow of the water, is not considered, doesn't relate back to the maisa ha'adam. He says that's already called kerach sheni, because it didn't happen in the first 2-3 seconds of pushing of the button. So therefore he says that the whole mikveh was not nasa yidei ha'adam. Only the first couple of saw were habayasa yidei ha'adam, and the rest of the mikveh would be kosh. That's what he said. We explained last week at length, we explained that the Kozhoglover was killed by the Nazis, he was in the Lublin Yeshiva. So the Kozhoglover has in his tshuva sefer, Eretz Tzvi, and the Chazon Ish has in his sefer, they both quote the same Magen Avraham in Hilchos Netil Sidayim that indicates against this idea of the Dvar Avraham. It could be that he's right on the one premise that he said, that this distinction between Kerach Rishon and Kerach Sheni is a din in Kol HaTarkula that relates to Maisa Ha'adam. But what they disagree, they quoted the Magen Avraham, quotes the Tshuva Sarosh, that the whole vort, the whole distinction between Kerach Rishon and Kerach Sheni is only when you have the water is all piled up, so you have water, the water pressure, it's pushing down. When you pick up this mechitza, the dam that's mafsig, so mele the water goes. It goes, you just did hasaras hamoneya. I took away the walls, and mele the water flows. So the Gemara distinguishes between kerach rishon and kerach sheni. What if I set up a whole electronic system by pushing the button? It's not that there's some pressure running over here. By my pushing the button, I cause the flow of electricity, and the whole thing starts to function. So since I set up the whole system, so everything is going to be called kerach rishon. So that's what the Chazon Ish, but the Kozhoglover both spoke about electric machines to make matzahs l'shma, or to make tviyas hakutim l'shma. So they considered everything, whenever you have an electric machine, you push a button, everything is considered kerach rishon, everything is considered the maisa ha'adam. So this is what we were discussing last week, this halacha, we distinguish between kerach rishon and kerach sheni. So the Gemara on the bottom of that daf has the following din, on ayin zayin on the base. We left off in the middle of the Tosfos Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph Sof Chamalavoy. But Tosfos is discussing Gemaras on Amud Beis. One of the Gemaras they quote is the last three lines. The Amar Apapa, Noch Adin At Rapapa Gizok. They quoted a din earlier, 5 lines earlier, and now they quote another din of Rapapa. What did he say? Zarak Tzoror Lamaila. Someone throws a ball or he throws a heavy piece, throws it up, and then when it's falling down, he throws it in such a way that it hits someone. He wants to kill somebody, b'mezid b'hasro. And they warn him, don't throw it like that, because it's going to fall down and kill somebody. He says, that's exactly what I want. I want to kill him. It's b'hasro. So zark, throw l'maylo, b'holcho l'tzadim. And then when it goes down, it doesn't fall straight down, it goes sideways, and it kills someone. So b'horgo chayiv, the man is chayiv misa. So the Gemara says, so he starts the dings with him. My time, why do you say that it's chayiv misa? We just said, you want me chayiv misa if it's kerach gavra, and it has to be kerach rishon, and if it's kerach sheni, you're not chayiv. So you consider this all kerach rishon. He throws the thing up, and then it starts going down. So yes, takasha, that's kerach rishon. If it's kerach rishon, it should keep on going up. It should continue going up. The answer is no. It's going down, so is that kerach rishon? That's what he asks. My time, why do you say chayiv misa mishum? Because you're identifying this with kerach rishon as opposed to kerach sheni. In fact, Akasha, if it really were kocho, let it keep on going up and up and up and away. Why is it coming down? So this is not kochoi. So then the Gemara says, But on the other hand, if it's not, if his koyach stopped functioning already, so why does it go up and go down like a V? Why doesn't it, when his koyach ended, so it should just fall down by the pull of gravity? So the answer is no. It's still a hemshech of koyche. The lab koychei hu, and on the other hand, if it's not koychei, so why doesn't just tezel atachas, let it fall down directly below? And the answer is koyach kochushu. It is koyach rishon, but it's not his full koyach. The full koyach is when he keeps on going up, up, up in the same direction that he threw it. And if it would fall down, it sounds from the Gemara, if it would fall down directly below by the pull of gravity, it sounds like it would be potter. That's what it sounds like. But it doesn't fall down latachas. It doesn't tezel latachas. It goes sideways. So since it goes a little bit further sideways, so that's called a koyach kochush. So koyach kochush also falls under the category of koyach rishon and is chayiv ritzich. It's chayiv shim ritzich. So Tosfos points this out, that from the Gemara it would appear that if it falls down directly below, it's not called koychei anymore. Ilav koychei hu. If it's not koychei, let it fall down directly below by the pull of gravity. So it sounds, that's not koychei. If it's not koychei, then you're not. If it's not koych rishon, then you're not chayiv misa. That's what it sounds like. So Tosfos is not sure whether this is correct or not. How can you not be sure? Isn't that what it says in the Gemara? The Gemara says it's going sideways. What was the lashon HaRapapa said? In the beginning of the Mem, Zarek Tzroi Lamailo, he threw some heavy thing up in the sky, and when it comes down, when the trajectory turns downwards, and it starts going, it goes right, it doesn't go by the pull of gravity. So he says, Beferish Hochel it's done. So Tosfos writes, they're not sure why Rapapa said Hochel it's done. Whether it really means that if it falls down, Letachas Yitaka Nat Chayiv Misa, Hochel it's done, because he's just talking Dovish HaBehoifer. It's going to be once in a million times, Tosfos says. Dovish ain't a rogel at all, that you're going to throw something up and it's going to fall down directly according to the pull of gravity. It's never going to happen. So since it's so far-fetched, never going to happen. That's where Rapapa gave the case, Hochel it's done. But it's not really crucial for the halacha. The halacha would be the same, even if it would fall down, it's done. These are the 2 days in the Tosfos. That's what Tosfos has in the middle of this, in the middle of this Tosfos. So Tosfos assumes highly unlikely.
Standing next to
him.
Yeah. Right up. Right.
But if I'm next to him, so it's already going sideways a little bit. If it comes down directly, so it should come down exactly the same location where it went up. So it's already, it's going to be 2 inches away.
It's
done. A little bit of done. That's already a koach kachush, because it moved over a little bit. What if it's directly, exactly below? The fellow's on the ground. I tied him up and he can't budge. And I pick something up directly above him and I throw it up and it falls down exactly on the same spot where I had picked it up and threw it, if such a thing were possible.
So why do you have to throw it up? You just stand higher and let it drop it.
Okay. If he's interested in killing him, so he should drop it. Okay. If he's interested in... Okay. So that's what Tosfos is not sure. If you throw it up, would you be chayiv or not? So Tosfos raised the question. We paskin, we discussed last week, we paskin in the machlekes in Bava Kamma, machlekes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and Davchov Beis, Davchov Gimel Tosfos, Davchov Al, Davchov Beis, whether Isha Mishum Chitzov or Isha Mishum Amono, when the Torah says that if I'm negligent with a fire and it goes out and it burns someone else's property, so I'm chayif to pay. So we say, based on the pasuk, Rabbi Yochanan reads the pasuk, Shalem Shalem, Hamavir Esaper, is considered that as if he did it biadayim, as if he's an Adam Hamazik biadayim. So there wouldn't be a ptur of Tomun. The halacha that says that Eish is ptur on Tomun is only if it's a rare case, when it's kol lochitzav, in a case where you can't declare that it's Isha Mishum Chitzav. But the most normal case, 95% of the time, is going to be Isha Mishum Chitzav, it'll be considered as if I did the pula. So you'll be chayv and chamisha dvarim, nezek, tzari, pushevis, and boishes, and there won't be a ptur of tom, and it won't have any of the special dinam of eish. It'll be considered like autumn. And Tosfos read the Gemara, that was the theme of the Tosfos we said last week, Rav Zalvala Soloveitchik quoted Aran, and Ardaf, who disagrees, and he claimed the Rambam holds like that, that the Tosfos sheet is that if you have a case of isho mishum chitzov, not only is it relevant in Hilchas Nezikin, it's not only relevant to dinam that appear and Parshas Mishpatim by Adam HaMazik versus Eish HaMazik, that Adam is Chayv and Chamisha Dvarim and he's Chayv Antoman and Eish is Patra Antoman, not Chayv Chamisha Dvarim. There's a sheet that says Isha Mishim Chitzu is a din and call it Tarakula. Yik Mechai Mishim Retzeach if you say Isha Mishim Chitzu. And if you shech the behema, are you the Isha Mishim Chitzu, it'll be considered Koichai. It'll be a Shechitek Sheira. That's the theme of the Tosis from the beginning to the end. So that's what Tosis is wondering. Why not say over here Isha Mishim Chitzu? He throws up the tzror in the air, and it falls down. So if it falls down sideways, the Gemara said that's kocho. Kocho is mamish. Adam hamazik or adam ahorik. The yodayim is chayiv, and kocho kegufa is also chayiv. And this is a perach rishon. So the Gemara worked out the details. But from the Gemara, what appear is if it falls down directly below, in that case, he would not be chayiv misa. So Tosfos says, why not? If we have this Gemara, the way Tosfos read the Gemara in Bava Kamma, that if you say Isha Mishum Chitzov, he's Chayv Mitam Ratzeach. So this is not Isha Mishum Chitzov. He throws it up in the air, and then everything takes over. And he set up a system whereby everything is going to continue. No. That's exactly what Isha Mishum Chitzov. I make a little fire over here, and I know that the wind may come and blow the fire further, and I'm negligent, and I don't bother to take care of it. So I say, Isha Mishim Chitzav, the Hemshech of everything that happens later, relates back to me and it's considered Adam HaMazik. So I want to consider it a Ratzeach over here.
Even when Kacha Chavurah, right?
Yeah, the Pashtus is like that. So the Chazanish suggested on the bottom of the Tosfos, that's the Shaila, how do you read the second line from the end of the Tosfos? So Tosfos suggests, if you have a the simple, the Maharsha read the Tosfos, the second line from the bottom. When do you say Isha Mishum Chitzov if there's no wind at all? If I made a little fire over here, I was making a barbecue and I was negligent, so then the flame catches on the grass, it goes weiter, 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 no wind. But if you have to, if I'm coming to a wind, if you didn't need another force to help you out, so true the din is by Eish that you chayev. If there's a koyach acham yurabai, that's how the Gemara says all the time in Bava Kamma, 10 times. First parak in Bava Kamma, when you have a koyach acham yurabai, then you chayv mitameish, but that will only be isha mishum mamon. That's not going to be isha mishum chitzav. That'll never be isha mishum chitzav. That's how the Maharsha read the Tosfos. So the Chazanish was not happy with that. We worked through last week, 2 weeks ago. So the Chazanish said, how can that be? The Gemara always identifies Eish as koyach acham yurabai. It means if not for the wind, it wouldn't have reached over there. And nonetheless, the Gemara says, the machlek zav yechon ha-reish lokish, where the Eish, Isha Mishum Chitzov, is it called Chetz? Is it called Koichai of the Adam? Or Isha Mishum Amono? No, so we pass an Isha Mishum Chitzov. And the normal Eish is with a Koich Acher. So how can the Marsha say that whenever you need a Koich Acher, then it cannot relate back to me to be considered Chitzov? That's against the Pashtus of the Gemara. That was the Hasoge that the Chazanish had against the Marsha. So how do you read the Tosfos? But that's what it sounds like from Tosfos, the second line from the bottom of this long Tosfos. Seif Chamalov, Tosfos says, Ve'esh Nami, Shulei Lisa'ela V'ruach Mitzuya. That's what the Marsha says, the way it says is correct. Marsha tried to correct it, it should say, Ruach She'eda Mitzuya. So the Marsha says, no, the way it says is better. If you need Azmadaf Onkum into Akoach Acham Yorubai, then it's not going to be called Isha Mishum Chitzel. So the Marsha, so that's how the Marsha read the Tosfos. So the Chazanish said, how can it be? But that's what Eish always is. You're always talking about an Eish with a Koach Acham Yorubai. And that's what Rabbi Yechanan said, Isha Mishum Chitzav. So the Chazanish thought that maybe Tosfos meant a different thing. If at the time that I was making my barbecue, there was no wind blowing. And I finished eating my barbecue and I drove back, I was in the mountains, then I drove back to New York. And then later the wind starts to blow. And I saw there was a little bit of fire and I assumed it was going to go out by itself. And later the wind starts to blow. So since at the time that I was metapto, there was no wind at all, and the wind comes later, so that's what the Gemara says, that's not called Isha Mishum Chitzav. If the Koach Acham Yorubai comes later, when do you say Isha Mishum Chitzav, that everything relates back to me? If the Koach Acham is there simultaneously with my Pu'ula, or the Koach Acham begins to function after I finish my Pu'ula. I do some activity, the Koach Acham takes over where I leave off. But if I walk away, I drive away, and the wind isn't blowing yet. And based on the present matzav, the fire cannot go too far. Let's say there are bricks around it, or there are stones around it, or there's an empty area where there's no grass, there's nothing. And the fire is not going to go anywhere, but I know that the wind may come later. No, so that's what the Chazon Ish says. The Gemara says, Sof Chamer Lovay, Sof Tzin Lovay. Whenever the Korach Acher is not present now, it only kicks in later. I did my pool and I walked away. And then the Korach Acher takes over. So that's what Tais is meant to say, that that's not called Korach Acher Yorubay, that's not called Isha Mishim Chitza. Yeah, but over here the problem is the gravity is not always there. The gravity is not, doesn't come later. No one's pushing on the button, turning off the button. So when the person throws it up and he wants to kill someone, so what if it falls down directly? So if in the Gemara is mashma only if holchol it's done in yechai, but if it falls down directly you're not chai. So that's what Tosis is bothered. How can that be? Why isn't that ishim mishum chitzo? The koyach acher of gravity takes over. The koyach acher of gravity is pulling. When I throw it up in the air, the koyach acher is pulling it down. If there wouldn't have been any gravity, it would have gone further. It would never come back down. And then after my koyach finishes, so then the gravity picks up immediately after, and it goes in its mamshech the pula. No, so why don't you say Yishim Mishim? If you hold Yishim Mishim Chitza, unless you're going to tell me Rav Papa holds Yishim Mishim Amono, he doesn't believe in this din that a Koach Acham Yorubay can relate back to me, and everything is considered my Maisa. But we pass in La Halacha Yishim Mishim Chitza, so what's the difference if it falls down directly below, if it falls down a distance away? That was Tesis Kash. So Tesis had one opinion, Taka doesn't make a difference. When Rav Papa said, Hochel it's Dadim, is Labdavke, just that it's highly unlikely, it's never going to happen like that. That was one suggestion that Tosfos made. The Shema, the line ends with the word Vishema. When it says Bavakama Davvav Amad Aleph, in the middle of the Tosfos. So they say Vishema, maybe, and then the next line says Shem, Eina Motze Kanshi Tipo Latachas Mamash Lateza Klal Itzot. Maybe that's where our Papa said Hochel Itzot. It's never going to happen. He didn't mean Lemute Hochel. If it goes down directly below, it's also Chai Vishem Mishem Chitzot. But he just meant to give you the case, 999 times out of 1,000. That's the way it's going to be, so that's why he gave that case. But the other day in Tosfos, 2 days and they're out. The other day in the Rishonim is that it's not so. That if it falls down directly below, you're not chayiv misa, even if you hold ishim ishim chitza, there's enough to be mechayiv ratzeach. Why? Appellate. So the Ran is mazbe something over here. The Ran has a little bit strange explanation. I remember all the years that I learned by Rav Soloveitchik in the Shia, this was the only time that he ever quoted anything from Aristotle. He said that the Ran has 2 days over here, so it's 2 days on Aristotle. The Shia used to be in Yiddish, I remember. So he said that the Ran has 2 days, what's the uptight of gravity? Not the Ferish in the Ran, it's not an interpretation. Is gravity a koyach mishiche, that the earth is pulling something down and that's why it falls? Or do you say, no, it's not that there's a force that's pulling, gravitational force, the way we assume today, but rather, the thing is heavy, that's why it falls down. The thing is heavy, that's why it falls down. So the Ran and half of these Rishonim are assuming that the only time you say, Isha Mishim Chitza, when there's a Koyach Acha Meyuraboy, when there's another force that's functioning simultaneously with my Pula, or picks up after I finish my Pula. I do a Pula, then the Koyach Acha takes over, and it goes weiter, so since there was no hafsoket, there was no pause. If it's Sof Chamer Lovay, Sof Tzin Lovay, the other Koyach Acher didn't come yet, then it doesn't relate back to me. But if the other Koyach Acher began to function while I was doing my pula, or immediately after, and it takes over afterwards, and then everything that happens relates to me, that's only if the other Koyach is a Koyach. But if the other thing is not a Koyach, there is no force. It's just that all things are heavy, so they fall down. That's why it falls down. So since there is no Koyach, so there's nothing to relate back to me to say, true, I set up a system whereby someone's going to get killed. But the fact that it falls down is not another koyach, and the halacha says that by ritzeach, you have to have koyach rishon. Koyach sheni is not chayv, so you have to have koychoy. So if there's a koyach acher, that'll relate back to me, and it's considered, if it's simultaneous with my ma'aseh, then it's considered koychi. It's all considered my koyach. But if it's not a koyach, it's not that there's a natural force of gravity that's pulling anything over here. It's just that things that are heavy fall down. So then the Ran explains that there is no koyach acham yura, but to me mitzdar back to me. So it's not called koyach. Those are the 2 days in the Ran.
If I just give a moment in that case, in this case, gravity is not a force.
It would certainly be isha mishum amono. Certainly be isha mishum amono. But Tosfos says it won't be isha. The one day in Tosfos holds that it won't be called Isha Mishim Chitza. So the Ran is Masmer, that's the issue that Tesis is debating. That's the machlokes that Tesis has, whether if it falls down directly based on the pull of gravity, it doesn't go litzdodim, is the Gemara to be taken literally meduyak, that if it falls down based on the pull of gravity, not chayiv or not, or you are chayiv. So this depends on how you understand gravity. The 2 days in Iran are corresponding to the 2 days in Aristotle.
We understand okay. Gravity as a force, right?
I think so. I'm not so familiar, but I think so. Yeah, yeah. I think we assume that it's a koyach meshicha, that it's pulling, that something is pulling. So even if it falls down directly below, you will be chayv misa. You will be chayv misa. That's the one day that Taisa says, "Shem ain't a matzah klal shetipol latachas mamish latez a klal is done." That's why he said it's done, because that's the way it's always going to be. But who at the nami? If it falls down directly, you're also chayv. Those are the 2 days.
According to Einstein, gravity is not a force of pulling; it's a curvature of space by a body. If you ask any skydiver when he jumps out of a plane, does he feel like he's being pulled down?
It's not a force.
It's not a force.
Yeah. So what?
It's the nature of the batter following the natural curvature of space.
Oh.
And large bodies curve space. That's why the moon goes around the earth, following a curvature of something.
Okay. So it's the other day in Iran. Okay. So it's the other day in Iran. Okay. The Rishonim were not sure. The Rishonim were not sure what the pshat is. Okay.
Isn't there a smart perception by gravity? It's mamish the opposite of what I'm doing. I'm pushing up, and gravity is pulling down. Thereby, the roof, my age, I push in that direction. Then the wind continues in the same direction. It reinforces what I did. It's mamish sunset.
But this is what he wants.
I'm not saying that, but the fact of the matter is it's mamish.
Yeah, but this is what he planned on. This is exactly what he wanted. The Gemara has a case like that. A fellow is playing ball, so he bounces the ball against the building in order that it should hit backwards, and there's somebody behind him whom he wants to kill. So the Gemara says, Chai Misa. Chai Misa. Because he sets up a system where the koyach of bouncing off is the exact opposite from what he's doing. But that's what he wants, so that all relates back to him. There's another line in Tesis that I want. There's a lot in Tesis that we're not covering. There's a lot we covered 2 weeks ago. But there's one more line in Tesis that I'd like to do. But we have to first see a little more Gemara. The Gemara has on Omid Aleph, on Ayin Zayin Omid Aleph, the line begins, V'yomar Rava. First Rava had a member of that. 7 lines from the top it says, Omar Rava. The line begins, Omar Rava. And then he has 4 lines later, Vi Amar Rava, Nachatina Rava Gizog. He makes a distinction. I tie somebody up in front of a lion, and the lion eats him up, and he's dead. So my chayv misana. So he says, if I tie up in front of a lion, Kafsa Lefnei Ari is pata. I'm not chayv misa. If I tie him up Lefnei Yitushin, I tie him up in front of insects, bugs, gnats that chew him, and they eat him up alive. So then he's chayv. What's the difference between Kopsel of Nehri and Kopsel of Nehitushin? Why should it make a difference? So Rashi and Tosis have different shot. So Rashi writes, Kopsel of Nehri, Potter, Zokt Rashi, the Inami, I tie him up in front of the lion. And if I wouldn't have tied him up, the lion would eat him up anyway. If he's in front of the lion, obviously he's in the lion's den or something. Okay. So I have the gun, Hastis. I have a gun and I'll shoot the lion. The lion knows not to start up with me because I have a gun. Or I'm outside, whatever. So Rashi claims, Rashi gives an okimtip shot. Rashi and Tez both going to give an okimtip shot. A hocham and mayaskina. They're going to say the case that Rav is talking about is one particular case. That's the case that you potter. So Rashi says, why are you potter? It's talking about such a case. The inami lohoya kofus. Even if he would not have been tied up, he wouldn't be able to save his life anyway. So by my tying him up, I didn't cause him to die. Ben Kovako, he was going to die. Mashena came by the Yitushin. The bugs are eating him. So when a bug starts biting you, so you push away the bugs. And if they don't go away, so you walk away. So you walk away, go to the drugstore, you get some spray, you get rid of the bugs, you do something about it. You don't just sit there. So when I tie him up and you two should meet him up, so that caused him to die. Because he couldn't chase away the bugs, so they ate him up alive. Then the next opinion in the Gemara, let's see, back in the Gemara, that's how Rashi reads, the difference between kapsal of Nehari, if you tie in front of a lion, it's a specific case, Rashi learned. I tied him up in front of the lion, and I didn't cause his death, main cover because he's going to die. But if I tie him up in front of Yitushin, he would have been able to save himself, and my tying him up is what killed him. And Rav Ashi disagrees with the Rav, and he says, no, afilu lifnei Yitushin, nami pato. Why? Because we just said before, if it's soif chamalov or soif tzinalov, I tie him up in the Sahara Desert, the sun is beating down on him. And everybody knows, if you stand there for an hour, you're going to die. But no one's going to stand there. He's just going to stand there for 5 minutes, then he's going to go into an air-conditioned room. Or I tie him up in a freezer. So the butcher sometimes goes into the freezer just for 2 minutes. He's not going to stay there for half an hour. He'll freeze to death. So I tie him up in a freezer. So the freezing cold is already affecting him right now. So kopso, how did the Gemara say? Kopso b'chama umeis, kopso b'tzina umeis. So Rava said before chayim. But if it's soif chama lov, I tie him up, and the sun is not beating down on him yet. The sun is actually going to come later on. Or the freezing cold is going to come later on. Right now it's pleasant, but tonight it's going to be freezing, way below zero. So seif chamalov, seif tzinalov, I said, then I'm not chayiv. The koach acham yor, but that comes later, that didn't pick up after I did my pula, does not relate back to me. So that's where Rav Ashi disagrees with Rava. He says, afilu lefnei yitushin nami pata. Why? Because the many different yitushin, hani ozlu, azli, the first yitushin that started to bite him went vita. They didn't stay here. They didn't bite him to death. There are millions and millions of these gnats, these bugs. So one bug bites a little bit, then it goes vita to bite someone else. Next bug bites a little bit. Next bug bites a little bit. So they keep on coming and biting. So that's like Sav Chamalova, Sav Tzinalovoi. So Rav Ashi holds that yipata. What's Takav Shat and Rava? Rava himself is the one who said the distinction between Sav Chamalovoi as opposed to Kops of Bichama. So why doesn't Rava realize what Rav Ashi said? That when you tie someone up and the Yitushin bite him to death, it's going to be Hani Azli, the first Yitushin who started biting him as I tied him up. They're going to go weiter, they're going to travel on. But Hani Oslo, new ones are going to come later on. Hani Oslo, new ones are going to come. So the new ones is not Soif Chamalovoi. So the Ran explains over here, Pashup Shat and Rava. What did Rava hold? Rava holds that since a lot of times when you see these insects, they come like a, they swarm. They're swarming on the grass, and they come thousands of them, millions of them all together, so it looks like it's one big army, so it's as Rava considers it one big hemshech. He doesn't consider it Saif Chamalova. So since right now I tie him up, there are Yitushin who are attacking him right now, and the other Yitushin are on their way, and it's like swarming, thousands of them, so Rava held that it's one big unit. And Rav Ashi holds, no, you treat each Yitush as a separate unit. Okay. So according to Rashi, what's the pshat kofsul of Neri? Why is he potter? Because he didn't do anything. He's not causing his death by tying him up. Taisus has a different pshat. Taisus says kofsul of Neri. So Taisus says ein chiluk bein yitushim lari. There's no basic difference between yitushim and Neri. This is as opposed to the third pshat that we're going to give in a few minutes. So Taisus says there's no basic difference between yitushim and Neri. Ela mishum the stam ari. Taisa says that this is Rava repeating what he just said before. Rava said, Kofsa b'chama umeis, kofsa b'tzino umeis. If I tie him up in the sun, in the Sahara Desert that's baking down on him, and everybody knows if he stay there for an hour, you're going to get killed, and I tie him up and the heat is beating down on him, so then kofsa b'chama chayev, umeis is chayev. Seif chama lovoi is not chayev. So Taisa says, is it possible to tie someone up while a lion is already eating him? How can I tie him up while a lion is biting him? The lion is going to jump on me. So Mistama Hachamayaskinam. Rashi and Taisa are both giving in Ukim to Pshat. So Taisa says when you tie him up and he's eaten to death, he's bitten to death by the lion, means the lion didn't start chepping him yet. The lion is going to come later, except that he would have been able to run away. So now I tie him up, he can't run away, and then the lion is going to come. So Taisa said, that's Rava Lushitasa. It's not Lushitasa. It's just repeating the same thing that he said 4 lines earlier. He said, Soif Chava Lavoi, Soif Tzina Lavoi is not Chayiv. So kafta lefnei ari is always soifari lova. You can't tie the person up while the lion is in the process of eating him up, of biting him to death. And the mishum destam ari probably adayin lehischa lachvo bo. The ari didn't start biting him yet. Shim kofetz kvar olovo ari, if the lion already jumped on him and he's already in the process of eating him up, aloha yochel esasik lechfoso, how can I tie him up in the middle while the ari is eating him? But by the yitushim, Taisa says, then it is possible. So when I tie him up and yitushim are biting him already, so rubber holds number one, like the Ran explained, I treat all the whole millions of yitushim, the thousands of millions of yitushim, is treated as one unit, one big swarming mass of yitushim. He treats it as one unit, it's not called soifa lovoi. And since the yitushim are already biting him, so that's called kafsa bicham, as opposed to soif chamalov. That's how Taisa interprets. So liyoylams, one could have given a different shot. That's what Taisus is. The first line in Taisus is, "Ein chilik ben yitushim lari." There's no basic distinction between the ari killing him as opposed to the yitushim. The fourth is Taisus says, "By the yitushim they already started, and the ari didn't start yet." And Rashi also holds there's no real difference between the two. The only difference is, "An ukim tepshat," that by the ari he would have gotten killed anyway, so my tying him up doesn't make a difference. But by the yitushim, my tying him up causes his death. But Oy Yishlam, other Rishonim say differently. Let's go back to the Mishnah. The Chumash has a din that if a shor shahoregas ha'adam, it gets skilo. A shor yisakel, the gambol of yumas. It says if a shor tam kills an adam the first three times, so the shor is ton skilo, and the bailam don't have to pay kaifa. We pass kinyon and pay chatzi kaifa. But if the shor kills an adam, a yisrael, four times, the Gemara says the Bezin should have given him skila for the first time. But we're talking about a case, the Bezin was mekabelatus, and then the shor ran away. So the shor killed the second time, third time, or fourth time. So if the shor kills the fourth time, then the baal shor has to pay kaifer, and the shor gets skila. So what's the nature of this din that the shor gets skila? Well, you're punishing the shor. So the Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim, it's not a punishment for the shor, it's a punishment to the baal shor. That the baal shor wasn't careful, he was negligent, he lets the shor run around and kill people. So that's scandalous. So he really deserves a serious punishment. So what we do is, we give the shor skila, and we say, "Belo yachal es besora," and it's also b'hano. The besar shor on this call is balo shor noki, yotze pleni noki nimen chasov, the besar hashor is also b'hano. So that's how the Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim, that it's a punishment for the balo shor. I'm not familiar with Mor Nevuchim, but the Ramban HaChumash quotes this. The Ramban on Parshas Noach quotes this Mor Nevuchim, and he says he's not right. He says that's a machlekes hatanoim in the Mishnah, Bava Kama Daf Mem Hei. What's the din of shor hefker? Shaharagas ha'odom. The shor doesn't belong to anybody. So Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in the Mishnah is that a shor hefker, shaharagas ha'odom, is not chayv skiva, and we don't pass him like that. So the Ramban writes on Chumash, the Rambam svarit that it's a punishment to the Baal HaShor, might have made sense if we would have accepted the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. But we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. We pass even a shor hefker, shor hamidbar. The shor hamidbar, that's the famous Mishnah that the Balabas read, shor hamadabir. Balabas had yardside in his Lani Mishnayis, and he came into the Beis Hamikdash. He came across, he said to the Balabas, came across a Mishnah about a shor that knows how to talk, and the Balabas said he's crazy. So I think it's a maisa with the Tzemach Tzedek, no? So I think from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek. So when he came into the Beis Medrash, he knew the Baal HaBos, at the Shein Fashtanitz, he said, "Oh, he must be referring to that Mishnah." And Baba Kama, he thought that it said Shor HaMadab. It said Shor HaMidbar. Shor HaMidbar means a Shor Shal Hefker. So we pass in Shor Shal Hefker, Shaharagas HaAdam, is also Chayv Misa. So the Ramban says, you see from the Psak HaLocha that it's a punishment to the Shor. Right, what does the Shor have enough Seichel to understand? Zokta Ye, he says that after the Mabul, it was ingrained in the Teva of all of the Balechayim, that they understand enough seichel they have. They don't have enough seichel to understand Shabbos, Kashrus, Taras, Hamishpacha, Macholos, Asus, whatever, all the other Din HaTorah. But Ritzicha, this, they have enough seichel. They should have a sense of Hakoras HaTayv to Noach, that he saved them, and they're not supposed to kill people. So if a behemoth kills a human being, the behemoth has enough seichel to know that he did wrong, and the behemoth deserves an Einish Misa. That's what Ramban writes on Chumash. It's an Einish to the behemoth. So if you look in the Mishnah here, Ayin Vav on the days, we never did the end of the Mishnah. We did the first part of the Mishnah, we never did the last two lines. Shisa boyas hakelev, shisa boyas anachash. The Mishnah Ayin Vav on the days. Shisa boyas hakelev, shisa boyas anachash means, I sick a dog on someone else. Sometimes if the dog is in a good enough mood, he'll bite him and he'll kill him. Sometimes he won't kill him. So that's only groma. You can't consider that retzeach biyadai. That's all groma. It's terrible. Gram retzicha is misa b'dei shamayim, the Rambam quotes. But miyat kol chaya ed rishenu. The Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Retzeach, Shmiras Nefesh, quotes the Midrashim on the Pasuk in Parshas Nach that says, miyat kol chaya ed rishenu. What it means is this: if I set up a system that an animal bites someone to death, so ed rishenu means misa b'dei shamayim. So the one who does gram retzicha is punished with misa b'dei shamayim. But he's not chayav misa b'dei shamayim. So that's when the Mishnah means potter. Is only called Gramet Sicha, and it's part of from Dine Yodim. It's Chayb Dine Shammai, but it's part of Dine Yodim. What if Hishech Boyas Anachosh? What if I take his hand, and I have a snake, and I put his fingers in between the teeth of the snake, and I go like this? And the snake bites in, and the snake injects poison into the person's blood system, and then the person dies. So in such a case, am I Chayb Nisa or not? So that's a machlokes hataran. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev, v'chachamim poitra. Rabbi Yehuda says, you did it biyadai. This ma'aseh biyadai. But you can't say that that's gram. I put his hand in the mouth and I close the mouth of the snake. No, says mamish biyadai. Like I'll take a bat and I'll bat somebody on the head. So that's ritzicha biyadai. So if I take a snake and I hit him on the head, it's also ritzicha biyadai. If I take a snake and I go like this, I put his hand, it's also ritzicha biyadai. It's not gram ritzicha. The chachamim poitrim. We pass like the chachamim that you potter. So the Gemara wants to explain what is the nekudas hamachloikis and ayin chesam et aleph before the Mishnah on the bottom of the daf. The Gemara has three lines. Shisaboy is hakel v'chulei. They're not explaining shisaboy. They're explaining the machloikis of yudin hachachamim by hishach boyas hanachash. Hishach means I put his hand in the mouth of the nachash, and I make the nachash bite. Says mamish v'tzicha biyadai. So how come the hachamim? So what is this machlokes? Whether eris nachash, it sounds like a machlokes and mitzias. Okay, sounds like a machlokes and mitzias. But what is the nekudas machlokes? So remember, Rav Soloveitchik learned pashup shat in the Mishnah that means like this. The way the Ramban said on Chumash, Parshas Nach, that Ramban, that when a behemoth, there's a din of shara niska. So the Torah is telling us that if a person kills, I'm called a retzeach. I've saiv and achash is pater. The bechachamim is fakir. So what is this machlokes? Whether eris nachash, it sounds like a machlokes and mitzias. Okay, sounds like a machlokes and mitzias. But what is the nekudas of machlokes? So remember, Rav Soloveitchik learned pashup shat in the Mishnah. That means like this: the way the Ramban said on Chumash, Parshas Nach, that Ramban, that when a behemoth, there's a din of shara niska. So the Torah is telling us that if a person kills, I'm called a retzeach. And if a behemoth kills the shor haniskal, the behemoth is called the retzeach. And it's not only a din shor haniskal. The Mishnah says Malakam is not restricted only to a shor shahar gesodim. Behemoth chay b'yoyif is also the same thing. Whenever any behemoth chay b'yoyif, in Mar says you learn that shor sham is sinai, just like by shor sinai. It says you're not allowed to let any animals go up on Hasinai prior to Maimon Hasinai. If a behemoth does go up as chayv skila, so that didn't apply to behemoth chay b'yoyif. So too we learn out. But again, to this din also, by Shor Shahar Gesod, the man of any Behemah Chai B'yayf. So whenever a Behemah Chai B'yayf does a Maisi Ritzicha, we call the Shor a Ritzich. So when can you say that a Koyach Hacham Yoruboy relates back to me? If I set up a system that the Chama kills him, that the Tzina kills him, that it relates back to me, or that the gravity kills him, or that the flying sideways, the Kachosh kills him, I set up the system, so whatever the Tzoras are, everything relates back to me, because I'm the one who set up the whole system. So that's the Chiddush of Korach Chacham Yoruboy, Ishim Shem Chitzov, it relates back to me. When is that, if it doesn't relate to somebody else? But let's say I set up a system that a behemoth should kill the other. Let's say I pay you money that you should kill somebody else. I pay you money that you should kill somebody else, and I brainwash you till you kill someone else. But you're the Ritzeach. I'm only Chai Mitam Gram Ritzicha. I'm only Misa B'dei Shamayim. That's Gram Ritzicha. Miyad Kol. How does it say? Shevich Dam Hodom. I forgot. Shevich Dam Hodom B'Odom. Dom Yishevich. I forgot the whole passage there.
Miyad Kol Odom
Ed Rishenim. Miyad Kol Odom Ed Rishenim. That passage in Parshas Nech means if I send somebody else to kill somebody, I pay him money. And it's going to Sebet Sechleinah for him. And he goes and he kills him and I give him the money. So he's called the Ritzeach. I'm only called the Gram Ritzicha. So if I set up a system where the behemoth kills them, so the behemoth is the retzeach. I'm not called the retzeach. I'm called the gram retzeach. So that's what they had a machlekes hatanaim over here. If hishich boyas hanochosh, when I close the mouth of the nochosh, it's going to make a hole in the fellow's hand. But is it necessarily so that the eris nochosh is going to shoot out like a reflex action? It's going to shoot out instinctively, or the nochosh has to make a decision to shoot out the eris? If you should assume, Rav Yehuda assumes the eris nachash, then shina foimit. It's a machlokes and mitzias. Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that the nachash doesn't have to make any decision over here to kill the adam. The behemah chay v'yoyf have the chirach options whether to kill people or not. That's how the Ramban says on Chumash. The behemahs have chirach options. They have enough seichel, they're enough b'nei das to know not to kill human beings. But the shayla is over here. If I put his head in and I close the mouth, you need the decision of the nachash that he wants to shoot out some poison? Oh no, that's a reflex action. It goes automatically. So if it's a reflex action and there was no participation on the part of the nachash is umshuldik, the nachash is not the retzeach. Then the adam is labeled as the retzeach, and the nachash is the korach hacham yoruboy. But if he should say it's not so, eretz nachash meyatzmahu meki, when I closed the mouth on the fellow's hand, I made a hole in his hand. But the eris hanachash doesn't come out automatically. That's the decision of the nachash to shoot out the poison. So then the nachash is making that decision. The nachash is called the retzeach. Then you can't label me as the retzeach. That's why the Gemara, that's what Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, that's what the Gemara has, the double lotion.
One second.
So the Gemara has like this. According to Rav Yehuda, the eretz nachash ben shina v'oimed, the nachash doesn't have to make any conscious decision, doesn't have to exercise its b'chira chafshis to decide to do the Ritzicha here. So therefore he says the Mashech is Chayiv Saif and the Nochash is Potter. He says the both Dinim. Why does he talk about the Nochash? The Mishnah quotes the Machlokes of Yehuda and Rabbanu whether the Mashech is Chayiv. Hishech Poyas HaNochash, whether the Mashech is Chayiv or not. So this Gemara, Rav Acha, who is it? Rav Acha Bar Yankiv, is explaining that the Kudus HaMachlokes starts whether the Nochash is Chayiv Misa or not. If you hold the Nochash is Chayiv Misa, then the Mashech is not Chayiv. He's only a Gram Ritzicha. If the Nochash is not Chayiv Misa, because the Nochash didn't exercise its Bechira Chavshis to do a Maiser Ritzicha, then the Nochash is called the Koyach Hacham Yoruboy, and everything the Nochash does relates back to me. Let's say Kofsa bechama, kofsa betzina. Everything relates back to me, because chama and tzina, you can't say that the heat is a murderer. You can't say the heat is a murderer. Kofsa berov ameis. You can't say the famine is a murderer. There is no person, there is no behemoth. It's a natural thing that happened that caused them to die. So that natural, koyach hacham yor, but that relates back to me. But if there's another person or animal that I pin the blame on, I say that person or that animal is the retzeach, then you can't call me the retzeach. Two different people. He's the retzeach. The other person or the other animal is the retzeach. I only set it up on the grammar retzeach. So Rav Acha Bar Yankiv says that according to Rav Yudah, that the Nochesh doesn't exercise any b'chira chavshes over here, and the Nochesh is patur. So therefore the second step is that the mashach is chayvstein. And according to the Chachamim, Eres Nochesh Meyatzma who make it, the Nochesh does exercise its b'chira chavshes, so the Nochesh is doing the ritziche, so therefore the Nochesh is the skilo, so therefore the mashach is going to be patur. That's the pashtus over here.
So why is short stadium patur? I mean, he sets up the short,
the shor who it started in, the shor is not chayiv skilo. Yeah, the shor is not chayiv skilo. So maybe the one who sets it up should be chayiv skilo. Could be. Tosis has a discussion on shor it's done. A lot of Rishonim have over here the discussion. Okay, that could be. So this is a third shot in the Gemara. Getting back to the Gemara, Ein Zayinam and Aleph. Rava made a distinction between kopsa lefnei ari as opposed to kopsa lefnei yitushim. So Rashi and Tosfos both assume, like the first line, like the opening line of Tosfos, there's basically no difference between ari versus yitushim. It's really the same thing. It's an ukimta pshat. Rashi gives one ukimta pshat and Tosfos gives another ukimta pshat. Ukimta means the Gemara makes a din and Rashi and Tosfos say it's only talking about a specific case. Only a hachama maskin. It's only applicable in this case. So Rashi says that when you tie up the person in front of the Ari, it means he's going to get killed anyway. If you didn't tie him up, he's going to get killed. But tie him up in front of the Yitushin, he's not going to get killed if not for the fact that you tied him up. So Rashi says it's irrelevant. Ari, it's not Ari versus Yitushin. It's what he, let's say the man is a chayla mesukan anyway. He's so old and weak he can't even budge. So even if I didn't tie him up, the Yitushin would have eaten him anyway. So then Rashi would say that Kofsa Lefnei Yitushin would be Potter. The same as Kofsa Lefnei Ari. Because he can't run away anyway. That's how Rashi learns. Yitushin and Ari, it just represents the idea of the Ari. There's no way for him to run away. So he didn't do anything by tying him up, and Yitushin he did. And Tosfos interprets differently that Kofsa Lefnei Ari is always the equivalent of Soif Chama Lovoi. Because it cannot be. How can you tie him up while the Ari is in the process of eating him? So the Ari didn't start with him yet. So it's always Rav is saying the same as he said the line before. The Ari is always a pchina of Soif Chamalovai. And the Yitushin is Hacham Askin Pshat. The Yitushin already started eating him now. And the machlok is between Rav and who's the next one? Rav and Ravashi was whether you treat all the Yitushin as one big unit. That's how the Ran explains. What he's saying, no, Hani Yosu, Hani Yosli, Hani. So other Rishonim do not learn like that. Other Rishonim say, no. Rav is saying a fundamental difference between Ari and Yitushin. When do you say, like the Ramban al HaTorah, that all Behema, Chai, V'yoyv have enough seichel to exercise the Chiro Chavshis, yet Zahargin and Nish Zahargin, and that's at least the animal has Chodshtam seichel. Behema, Chai, V'yoyv. But if you have Yitushin, insects, they just do things on reflex action. They don't have a big enough brain. They don't have enough seichel to understand this is a human being, and Noach saved it from the Mabel, and he's an Enekla from Noach, these are all descendants from Noach. So Shabbat, Koras, HaTayv, the Yitushin don't have such a seichel. So if you set up a system where the Yitushin killed somebody, all of the activities of the Yitushin won't be Chayv Skila. The din of Skila, we say, Behem Chayv V'yoyf, you learn out from Shor Mi Sinai, that Behem Chayv V'yoyf is all included, but it doesn't include Yitushin, it doesn't include insects, they don't have enough seichel. So since the Yitushim are not considered Rotzchim, so when I set up the system, the Ritzicha that they do, the killing that they do, relates back to me. Like the Chama and the Tzino, like the wind that's blowing. I set up the system, all other Koyach Acha relates back to me. But by Ari is Chayat Misa for killing a person. Ari does a Maisa Ritzicha. So you can't say the Ari's Ritzicha relates back to me. Tosfos in the middle was bothered with a kasha, so the pashtus says that this was the teretz. But Tesis didn't go like that. Tesis, in Kofsel of Ne'ari, they said, there's no chilek, there's no basic distinction between Ari and Yitushin. It's just that this is Sofer Lava, and this is already, here the Yitushin already are biting into him. But according to the way the other Rishonim suggested of Pshat, that there's a basic difference between Ari and Yitushin, so then there's Arab, the kasha that Tesis had in the middle of the Sofer Chamalavai. They had a kasha, why don't you treat the Ari like a Koach Acham Yorubai, why is Nichai? The answer is, Ari did its own Maaser Ritzich. No, that Machlekes, that's how the Ran says, L'chor, you have to start like that. The Ran says that the Machlekes between Rav and Rav Ashi is where you treat all of the Yitushim, such a swarm of them. So Rav held you treat it as one unit, and Rav Ashi says, no, that it's Seif Chamalovich. It didn't start. That's the question. If you have a bull who's trained to attack when he sees red, that's what the Gemara calls shor hoitz tadn, the shor from the stadium. The shor in the stadium, that's a Gemara Baba Kama, that the shor, the ox in the stadium, is trained to gore when he sees that color. So the Gemara says the shor will not be chayiv misa because he didn't really exercise his tchir chavshes. It's as if we train the shor in the stadium to kill people. So it's like a reflex action on the part of the shor. So that's what he pointed out. So if the shor will be potter from misa because it's not called exercising chiru chavshes, the shor didn't do a maaser ritzicha, there you should say that the one who tied him up, the one who set up the whole system, will be chayiv misa. That's the koach acham yorubai. You should be chayv misa, except for the fact that it'll most probably be seif chamalavoy. Probably the Ari is not going to start biting him until after. It depends. If while I'm tying the person up, while I'm still tying him, the Ari already starts to attack him, so then the whole hemshach of the Ari eating him will relate back to me. So I'll be chayv misa. But if the Ari doesn't start to eat him until after I finish my misa and I walk away, then the Ari comes. That'll be Soif Chamalov, and that'll be called Grom. Then the Koach Acham Yorubai of the Ari's activity will not relate back to me. You have to have, that will make the, that's part of the story. The rest of it is that if I do my activity and I walk away, and then the other outside, the force comes and does the dirty work, does the job of Ritzicha, then it doesn't relate back to me. That's Soif Chamalovai. But if the Ari is already coming, on his way, he's running, as I'm tying him up, the Ari is running to eat. So then it's not Soif Chamalovai, then the Cham is already here. Then I would be chayv if it's a Vados, yeah. And again, it's only if you say that the Ari doesn't have a Bchira Chavshis. If it's a Shor who it's Tadin, then the Gemara says in Bava Kama, that the Shor Yitzdadin doesn't get Misa because it's like you suspended the Bechira Chavshis of the Shor. So you can't call the Shor a Ritzeach. So then you say the Adam who set up the whole system, he's called the Ritzeach. The activity of the Shor relates back to the Adam with the din of Korach Acham Yorubai. But if the Ari is exercising his own Bechira Chavshis and his decision to eat the person, then we say the Ari is the Ritzeach and the Adam is only the Goyre, is only a Gram Ritzeach. No, but Rava holds that you treat all of them as one unit. Could be. But I think that's how the Rishonim say on it. I think they say that the insects don't have such a big brain that they should understand. They don't have any brain to understand. So the Xeris HaKosov of Shora Niskol doesn't apply to insects. Only applies to Behemachai Liyot.
Without the Ramban, one would say, why should you kill that person, he's going to kill somebody else. Maybe he'll kill somebody else. So it's here. So
if
that he's going to try, then just
prevent
the medicine.
Okay. Sir Ramban says that's wrong. He holds that it's an Einish Misa. Like we have Arbin Misa's Bezdin, so by the shirt there's only Skila. We don't have Arbin Misa's Bezdin. You can shoot him. You can shoot the shirt. No, you're not supposed to shoot the shirt. You're supposed to shoot the shirt in the leg to trap him, and then do the Skila. It's a mitzvah to do the Skila. That's probably what prompted the Ramban to say like that. Then the Gemara has a machloikis, continuing on the daf on Ayin Zayin and Aleph. Gemara has a machloikis amaroim, itmar. The line begins with the word kafa olav gigis. The next piece of Gemara. The Gemara has a machloikis between Rav and Rav Zeira in two cases. Is this considered Soif Chamolovoy, that the Kachacher Miuraboy doesn't begin to kick in until after I did my pula. I do my pula, then the Kachacher Esh wakes up and it starts applying. So whenever it's Soif Chamolovoy, so then I'm not Chayim. It doesn't relate back to me. But whenever it's Kofsa Bichama, Kofsa Bitzina, so then the Chamanitzina relates to me and it's considered a Hemshech of my pula. So what if it's a little bit, the Kachacher began a little bit while I was handling the person, and it continues to function later, but the little bit that it began was really not enough to kill him. Let's say we gave the mashal. I tied a fellow up in the Sahara Desert that everybody knows in this makom, if you sit there for an hour, you will die. And the sun is beating down. Whoever sits there for an hour is going to die. So every pekech doesn't sit there for an hour. You just sit there for 2 minutes and you run inside an air-conditioned room. You don't stay there. So if I tie someone up in the sun, that's kofsa bichama. If I tie him, let's say, in the desert at night, let's say night is pleasant, only in the daytime, when the sun comes up and it beats down on him, then it's gefela. So soif chama lovoi, then you're not chai. What if I tie him up the first hour after sunrise, it's nish gefela. It's not bad. But then after an hour, after sunrise, then the sun is beating down, then it's gefela. Do you consider that soif chama lovoi? Because the real power of the heat of the sun that kills, it didn't start yet. But he say, no, the sun is mazik a little bit. The sun is already mazik a little bit. If it's very pleasant weather, if the first hour after sunrise is very pleasant, everybody would enjoy that. That's called soif chamalova. Everybody would agree upon it. But let's say the first hour is also a hezik. First hour, also people will be injured from the sun, but it's not enough to kill. But it's already starting to harm him. And this is going to get worse. In another hour, it's going to get worse, and then it's going to be enough to kill him. So that's a machlekes amaray. Where do you draw the line to distinguish between soif chama lover that you're not chayv and kof sedi chama that you are chayv? So that's how Taisis explains. Let's see in the Gemara. Itmar. The Gemara has the first word in the line is kof all of gigis. The Nazis used to do this, all these crazy things. You have a person and he's breathing fresh air, so you put a barrel on top of him and you sit on top of the barrel. They used to put people in barrels with water and sit on top of the lid of the barrel to drown them, to use up all of the oxygen. So here the Gemara has a case. I put a barrel on top of a person, I sit on top of the barrel, and there's no oxygen. And he chokes. He dies from lack of oxygen. So is that considered soif chama lovoi, or is that considered koksa bechama? Or par all of us amaziva. Someone, Rashi gives a moshe, someone is sleeping inside the building and it's freezing outside. The North Pole, the South Pole, whatever. It's freezing outside. And if anybody goes there outside, they're going to get frozen to death. So someone is sleeping in a building with his heat. So I go and I turn off the heat. No more heat. Then I open up the roof on top and he sleeps through the whole thing. And then the freezing cold comes in and he freezes to death. So when the freezing cold comes in the beginning, it's not yet enough to kill a person. It's not that cold that it should kill a person. But after a couple of minutes, then it's going to be so freezing cold. If I tie him up in a freezer, in a butcher shop, I tie him up in a freezer, the cold in the freezer is already so cold that it can kill someone if you sit there in the freezer for an hour. But over here, I tied him up, and pour all of us a mazivo, then I walk away. I took off, the mazivo is the roof. So I remove the roof and I walk away. So what happens in the beginning is a little of the freezing cold air comes in, and it's enough to make his skin burn from the cold. But then more cold there comes in later on. It keeps on piling up more and more. So that's the machlokes amaroyim. Rabbi Rab Zeira had an argument, chadam achad, chadam apater, and that's the shaila, is that called kopsa bichama, or is that called soif chama lover? That's the bottom Tosis explains, that's the machlokes. Okay. And that's what Tosis points out, pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara on Amud Beis, we already discussed, maybe we'll review a little bit again. Ayin Zayin Amud Beis on the third line. Omar Rove has a din, the chofa lebor. I pushed somebody into a bor, and he's going to die from starvation over there. He's already hungry, let's say. He's already hungry, he's going to die from starvation. So that's an act of Ritzicha. That's like Mitzamtzen. An act of Ritzicha. But there's a sulam bebor. There's a ladder, and he can climb out. So when I pushed him in, he still has the ability to climb out of the bor. But then what happens later on, Achev Silka, somebody else comes over, takes away the ladder, or if even I myself, Afilu who caught him a silka, even the one who pushed him into the bor, he comes over later on, he takes away the ladder, and he prevents him from coming out. So the Gemara says that the siluk of the removing of the ladder, removing of the weight to save your life, that's called groma. The pushing in, at the time that I pushed him into the bor, there was a ladder. So that's not called the Ritzicha yet. And then the removing of the ladder is only considered the Silu Kashmira. That's what we had a Tosis before. Tosis explained that Silu Kashmira is not called an act of Ritzicha. That was a Tosis we had on Amud Aleph, Dima Maschel bin Azokin, by Chid Lamed Tzamtzin. That's just from Baba Kame, by Nizikin like that, and by Ritzicha like that. That Silu Kashmira doesn't constitute an act of Ritzicha. So the Gemara gives more Mishonah. The Yom HaRav, another case. Zarak Chetz. I shoot an arrow at the person, exactly at his heart or at his brain, and it's vada going to kill him. The only thing is that he's wearing a suit of armor, or he has a shield in front of him. Patris biyoda, and he has a shield. So the act of ritzicha that I did doesn't count because it's a tris. And someone else comes and they do the siluk hashmira, they take away the tris. And even if I myself feel who caught him a notla, even if I run and I shoot an arrow, how can I run so fast? Let's say I pull a rope and I succeed in pulling away the shield that he had. So the Silu Kashmira is only called Gram Ritzicha. And the shooting of the arrow, B'shas Maisa, the Be'idna, the Shad Yebei, at the time that he shot the arrow, Mifsik Paskel Agira, that was the Chitzov, he shot the Chitzov. So at the time that he did the Chitzov, the Koyach Rishon, the Koyach Adam, there was a Shmira there. So that was not the Maisa Ritzicha. And then Silu Kashmira later is only Gram Ritzicha, so he's going to be Potter over here. And the same din applies to the third case. It's a repeat. All the repeat. The Amar Rav, the third case, exact same din. Zorg Mechetz, I shot him with poison, whatever, and he's going to die. But he has some medication with him. He has it home. He has medication, he has band-aids, whatever, and he has the ability to apply the medication and to save his life. So this is a bigger chiddush. But the Gemara considers it all the same. Even I did mamish an act of ritzicha, but since he has available in his apartment, he has whatever you need, iodine, dicurochrome, whatever you need over here, in order to prevent and a band-aid, whatever, and he had the ability to save his life. So at the time that I did the act of zarkhet, it's not considered a maaser ritzicha. So even if bo'acher pizron, even if after I shoot him and he's fatally injured, someone else comes and takes away the medication, throws it down the drain, who caught him a prisoner? Even if the one who shot the arrow goes and he spills the medication, so the Silu Kashmira is only called Groma, so he's also Potter. Why did the Yidden, the Shodah Bey, at the time that I shot the arrow, Yochel Lisrapas have it? He was able to cure himself. Later on, that's a Silu Kashmira. Amar Ravashi says, Hilka, once you assume, like Rava said, the third din, 1, 2, 3, it's all the same thing. All the three dinim of Rava the same. The Ravashi says, and once you accept the third din of Rava, so the fourth din is also going to be true. I shot him and he has no band-aids at home. He has no medication at home. But there's a drugstore on the corner. And it's a weekday and the drugstore is open. So he can go to the drugstore. He's not falling apart. He can send someone to the drugstore to take care. So B'derech HaTeva would be taken care of. And then, after I shoot him, then I go to the drugstore and I lock the door. And then someone goes to the drugstore and they take all the medication and they destroy it and they throw it away. So even in such a case, also Potter. I feel the samanim bashuk, even if he doesn't have the samanim in his apartment, but it's available at the store, it's available for sale, and then later on someone destroys the samanim, Also, they're both put. Then Gemara has a suffix. What if Nizdam Nulo Samamanim Al? What if I shoot the fellow in such a way, I did a fatal act of shooting him. Shot him with a bullet, let's say. He doesn't have anything at home to take care of this, nor is there a drugstore in the neighborhood. There's a hospital 100 miles away, and it's not B'chdei Shiyasa. If he's going to drive to the hospital, he'll die on the way. There's no way. And if they call up the hospital, there's no way to save his life. So I did a fatal shooting. I shot him, and he's going to die. So I'm chayv mitam ritzicha. All of a sudden, middle of nowhere, a helicopter comes by, a hospital helicopter comes by, and the helicopter has all of the equipment. Or an ambulance comes by, emergency, first aid, ambulance comes by, and have all the equipment there, and they can save the person's life. So when we realize this, so do we say, it's a gloy milsalem afreh, that at the time that I shot him, I was not a retzeach. All the previous cases were different. At the time that I shot at the time that I threw him into the bar, there was a ladder there. At the time that I shot him, he had a tryst. At the time that I shot him, he didn't have a tryst. He had the medication at home. He had the medication in the store, it was available. At the time that I did the act of Ritzicha, the Hatzala was available. Here, at the time that I did the act of Ritzicha, no Hatzala is in sight. We don't know anything. Obviously there was, but we were not aware of it. Nizdamno lo sabamonim. So in the middle of nowhere, something pops up later, lacher ha-maisa, and then later on, those samamanim disappear. So do you say that since nizdamno lo samamanim is a gloy milsum l'mafreya, that at the time that I shot him, it didn't constitute an act of ritzicha? So even though later on he clearly dies because of my hakor, still I'm going to be potter or not. So the Gemara says, we think l'kula. Yep. If he's already starving now, otherwise, kofso ameis barov, the Gemara said is pater. If I tie somebody up and he dies from starvation, I'm pater. Why? Because that's always called soif rov lovoi. He's not starving now. But what if the fellow hasn't eaten in the last 4 days and he's up geschwacht, he's ready to drop dead? But he's fasting, whatever, he's fasting Taneisen. But then he knows, as soon as he's holding by Gethisa, he's going to go to the refrigerator, and he's going to eat something, and then I throw him into the bar. So then, since it's already Kofsa Birov, it's not Kofsa Meis Birov. Kofsa Meis Birov is considered Seif Chamalova, but Kofsa Birov, or he peeled the Chofel of Bar, and he's starving. The Nechashim, that's everybody, that's like Shisa Boyes HaNochash, that everybody agrees that you're not Chayim. If the Nochash will kill him, the Nochash will be the Retzech. The Nochash is considered as exercising his Bechira Chavshis. And the other will be Potter, because it's only Groma. Yeah. Then the Gemara says, if you throw the ball, we discussed it, if you throw the ball against the wall and it bounces back and you want it to kill someone, so the Gemara says, that's Koichai, that's Karachrishin and Yuachayim. The Gemara just makes a. The Gemara says Yechayev Misa if you did it b'mezid, Yechayev Golos if you killed the Meshogig, both by Misa b'mezid and by Golos b'Meshogig, you have to have Korach Gavra. It has to be Korach Rishon and not Korach Sheni. So the Gemara says Yechayev in both cases. And the Gemara has a strange distinction. One of the Amoraim has a distinction whether the ball bounced back past Dalet Amos from the wall or bounced back and it killed someone within Dalet Amos to the wall. So the Gemara says, what's the difference? What's the difference whether it's chutz of Dalet Amos or toch Dalet Amos? So the Gemara says it's a numdine that people walk up close to the wall when they bounce balls and know that it should bounce back further. They didn't want it to bounce so close. So if it bounced too close, if it bounces close, they didn't want it, so therefore they're not going to be chayv. So Rashi and Taisvis, the longer Taisvis, just chazes over. Rashi has two pshatim on the Gemara. You're not chayv, what? So one comment Rashi makes is, if it's Behasra, if it's B'mezid of Behasra, the man is within 3 amas to the wall. So they say, don't bounce your ball, you're going to kill him. He said, Atados Vilach, I want to kill him. That's exactly what I want. So what are you going to tell me that? Since see people normally hit the thing against the wall with such a kayak, that they wanted to bounce back further than Dalet Amos, and here a fellow was only standing within 3 amas. What do you mean? They warned him, it's Be'edim of HaSra. They warned him, don't do it, you're going to kill him. So one shot in Rashi and Taisa says, you can't say that they're talking about the Mezid. The mazid is the mazid. So he knows that he's going to kill him. It must be talking b'shoigig. B'shoigig. So what's the problem? B'shoigig. Ahari b'shoigig is chayiv. What's the nafkamina, what he wanted, he didn't want? So that's what Tosfos says. No, there's a gemara baba kama, there's a gemara makis. When he chayiv, ahari chaschaver b'shoigig, I was throwing a rock in this direction. And so I didn't know there was anybody there, and somebody gets killed. But I intended to throw the rock in that direction. He wanted to throw the rock 4 amas, and it landed by 2 amas. And he didn't know there was anybody there, b'chlal, and it killed someone. So since that's misasik, that's not the maisa that he wanted. He wanted to do a maisa here, and it landed out over there. So if it's misasik, then you're not going to be chayv govus. That's what the Gemara means over here. That he really killed the fellow, b'shoigeg. So if it's tuchdal, and he didn't know that there was anybody there, b'chlal. So since normally when people throw things against the wall, they want it to bounce back more than dalan amas away, and this bounced within dalan amas, that's like a misasik. It's kavan lizrak arba, b'zorak shtayim. So misasik would not be chayv misa by, would not be chayv golus. Yeah, that's what Tosfos said. The last 2 lines in Tosfos, they say, they don't understand, how can it be that misasik means there wasn't even kavanas asiya. I didn't even realize that I was doing this. I really wanted to throw in that direction, and it flies in the other direction. So Tosfos says, but what's the original description in the Chumash? The fellow takes a hatchet, and he's chopping the tree, and then either the barzel flies out, or a chip from the wood, the yetzam is bakir, something flies out, and he didn't intend that at all. So Tosfos says, they don't know how to deal with this. But how does it stim with the Chumash? That's why they blib at the end with a kasha. How does this whole Gemara stim with the Chumash? So this is one suggestion that Tosfos gives. That the Gemara cannot, Rashi has the two pshatim. So one suggestion is, if the fella kills the mazid, how can you make a chilek between Tochdal and Amos Chuzan? They warned him in advance, don't do it, because the man is standing right over, you may kill him. He says, no, that's what I want to kill him. And then later on he says, no, but I wanted it to fly 5 amos. What do you mean? They warn you, and you see the man is standing over here. You say, that's what you want. So of course you're going to be chaymish. So the warm shot in Rashi and Tosfos was, the whole Gemara goes, b'shoigig. No, b'shoigig. So b'shoigig, no, so you chayv golos. No, b'shoigig, you chayv golos, but not the misasik. Misasik means, I was niskaben in this direction, it flies in that direction. I was niskaben 4 amas, and it flies 8 amas. Whatever, so that's what Tosfos says. No, everything is misasik. Golos is always misasik. I didn't realize there's a person there. That's Tosfos's problem. And then the other pshat in the Gemara is, no. Golus is chai b'misasek. Misasek, niskaben, lizrak shtay, mizorak arba. The Gemara says in Baba Kama is potter. So Rashi then Baba Kama says potter from miso, not potter from golus. Golus, you will be chai. And our Gemara goes, miso. Oh, how can it be miso? But if it's b'mezid. So that's what the Tosfos explained. No, see, he didn't take the hasra seriously. They said, don't throw the ball because it's going to bounce back and it's going to kill him. He says, yeah, that's what I want to kill him. But we know it's a joke because everyone who throws balls intends that the ball should bounce more than dalan amas away. So even though he was mekabel hasra, it's like he took it like it was a joke. So the hasra in this case, the kabbalas hasra is not meaningful. Shveri shtikala gemar. They're both pshat and mashlem. Okay, maybe next week we'll have to continue. We left off in the middle, in the middle of a topic. This week's Parshas Nasa, the Torah has the mitzvah of duchening, that the Kohanim are obligated to give a bracha to the Bnei Yisrael. So the Pasuk says, Kosa Baruch is Bnei Yisrael. This is the way the Kohanim should say the bracha, Amor Lahem, they should say to the Bnei Yisrael. That's the Pasuk Pshat, Amor Lahem. And the Gemara in Soitan, Perik Elan, Amorim has all of the halachas of duchening. So the Gemara says, when you duchen, it has to be panim keneged panim, they have to be facing each other. And this is learned out from the phrase, Amor lohem ka'odem ha'im alachaver, like a person talking to someone else. So the pashup, shat in the pasuk is, Amor lohem, the Kohanim, should speak to the Bnei Yisrael. But then the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation that's not really pshutush on mikra, that it means fakir, because Baruch is Bnei Yisrael, Amor lohem, the Bnei Yisrael should request of the Kohanim that they should duchen, because the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that the Kohanim are obligated to duchen once a day, every day. So we don't duchen once a day, every day. We only duchen on Yom Tovim. So I mean, all the Kohanim are mevatel a mitzvah. So the answer is no. The only time they're obligated to give the Birchas Kohanim is when the Tzibur requests of them. When we call out Kohanim, and that calling out Kohanim implies we would appreciate a bracha. We want you to give us a bracha. We're mitzvah them. So they're the mechuyev to duchen. So that's learned out from the pasuk, Kos Brachos Bnei Yisrael, Amor Lohem. when we call on the Kohanim, among